Well, we got a big hour coming up on the show. Don't forget, Dirk Nowitzki is with us in about 30 minutes, right around 9:30. But right now, it's time for Musical Musers, brought to us by Globe Life, who's your beneficiary. They've got a site specifically for P1s. Go to globelifep1.com. And this week, it is Gordo's turn.
Uh-oh, I didn't know it was my turn this week. So you guys like music, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Really?
Well, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite musicians of all time. It's someone that we've joked about on the air from time to time, but I would like to at least give some backstory as to what I think this man's musical importance is. Now, most of us know him from his acting career. He appeared in a movie in 1978, I think it was, with Burt Reynolds, and you may recognize the theme song because he wrote and sang the theme song.
Been watching videos again.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run.
Yes, and I'm talking about the great Jerry Reed Hubbard, who was born on March 20th, 1937. And he was born in Georgia. And he was an orphan. He was an orphan when he was young. He grew up in orphanages and then finally reunited with his mom and spent some time with his grandparents as well. When he was a little boy, he would grab the broom and pretend to play guitar and say that he was going to be a star someday playing guitar. He was hell-bent on learning how to play the guitar and becoming a star from that. Well, one of his heroes was Chet Atkins, and I don't know if y'all know who Chet Atkins is, but he is Mr. Guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody who has gotten into guitar has probably run across the name Chet Atkins. Chet Atkins was unbelievable in the way he kind of revolutionized guitar and was so good, and he was a real idol of Jerry Reed, so it was amazing to Jerry that Chet Atkins was one of the was basically the guy who discovered him, brings him to Nashville, and they became lifelong best friends, his childhood hero of Chet Atkins. And so Jerry gets to Nashville, and at first he is a session guy. He's so good on guitar, he kind of took what Chet Atkins had done on guitar and kicked it up a few notches. And he's so good on guitar that he's a session guy, and he played on a lot of hits that came out of Nashville in the 60s. And the and then he starts getting popular in his own right. In 1967, he scored pretty big with a hit of his that went to number 15, I think it was, on the charts. And you may recognize this one because it was recorded by someone else and made very famous even after Jerry had a small hit with it. Somebody else took it and made it even bigger.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash. I left my mommy goodbye note. By sundown, I'd left Kingston with my guitar up under my coat. I hitchhiked all the way down to Memphis, got a room at the YMCA. For the next 3 weeks, I went on them nightclubs looking for a place to play. Well, I thought my picking would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man.
Of course, Elvis recorded Guitar Man and made it very, very famous. And Jerry tells the story about how Elvis was recording this. Felton Jarvis was the producer of Elvis's session of Guitar Man. And they were a bit worried because they couldn't get the guitar part right. They couldn't figure out exactly what Jerry was playing on guitar here. Because if you listen to Jerry playing it back in the background.
There's no room around here for Guitar Man. We don't need a Guitar Man, son.
What's weird is right here. Okay, so you hear the... It's almost like what a horn part would usually be.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing that on guitar, but also at the same time on guitar, he's playing... So he's playing those two parts together, the walking bass line that's doubled up, and the horn part, he's playing them both on guitar at the same time.
In Mobile, Alabama, at a club they call Big Jack's. A little four-piece band with jamming, so I took my guitar and
you can hardly hear it in the background because he's playing on a little nylon string classical on this TV show that this audio is taken from. But they couldn't get the guitar right, so Felton Jarvis, the producer of Elvis, said, well, look, you're not going to do it because Jerry's his own player, and I don't even know how he's tuned on that song. So if we want to get the guitar part right, let's just call Jerry in. And so they did. They called Jerry, and his wife tracked him down. He was fishing off the Cumberland River. And Jerry had straight into the session to play with Elvis, said he was so nervous he could hardly, he messed up over and over again as they started playing. Because he's so nervous to be in front of Elvis.
Yeah.
And Elvis was real deferential to Jerry.
Because he thought he was a good guitar god.
Yeah, and Jerry holds the distinction of having the most songs of any songwriter that Elvis recorded. Elvis recorded more Jerry Reed songs than he did any other songwriter. Because he loved Jerry's stuff. And, of course, Guitar Man became associated with Elvis after that.
Yeah.
Elvis was known as the Guitar Man, even though Jerry originally wrote it. But it wasn't just these big hits that I think made Jerry great. You know, he also had a few slower songs that I thought were just absolutely beautiful. I don't know if you've heard of a tune called A Thing Called Love.
Six foot six, he stood on the ground, weighed 235 pounds.
Great song.
That giant of a man brought down to his knees by love. He was the kind of man that would gamble on love.
That was a beautiful early hit for him. It's real pretty, and he's playing that classical guitar on that one too, which is really nice. And then you have the kind of novelty songs. He got into recording novelty songs, which I'm not exactly sure why. Well, I guess I know why, because he's
probably huge, entertained by them.
Yeah, had huge hits with them, including one that's a favorite of Troy Aikman, because when he came to Jub Jam one year, actually did this, I did this song, and Troy was all about it. It's Amos Moses.
Here comes Amos. Now Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligator for a living. He just knocked him in the head with a stone. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos.
With that Telecaster run like straight into the board. It's so dry, that guitar. But you can hear it on this song, Jerry kind of really pushing chicken picking. And that became huge after Jerry, too. He'd take that Telecaster and do all that chicken picking on the guitar. That sound. But everyone knows Jerry as an actor.
Yeah.
And maybe as a singer. But they don't know him as this great, great guitar player. Even when he would cover songs, he would do a guitar treatment of them that would make them out of this world. Like, this is the famous song, City of New Orleans. It wasn't written by Jerry, but the way that Jerry added the beginning guitar part on this, and then the fact that he's playing the bass part while playing the melody at the same time on the guitar, he was famous for being able to combine two different guitar players into one. He would do it himself. Or, yeah. Yeah, this is it. We're going to be on this. That's a guitar with an effect on it. Isn't that cool sounding?
That's amazing.
That's so cool. And the guitar solo in this.
I'm on pick.
Now, I don't know if people can pick this apart, but the bass notes that are playing in the background are also him playing. So the melody you're hearing is him playing, which that's the obvious guitar solo part.
Yeah.
But the rhythm you hear in the background is also him playing at the same time.
I can't fathom that.
So he syncopates these two things at once. And that's what makes him so great.
So he's playing the bass part with his thumb?
With his thumb, right. The thumb is playing that bass part.
To me, that's impossible.
It really is. And there's three kind of main guitar players that develop that style. Merle Travis was the first guy to do the thumb, the bass part with the thumb, and then pick the melody with his fingers at the same time. Then Chet Atkins comes along, and he kind of refines that Merle Travis style by adding a few more fingers in. And then Jerry comes along and then adds even more to it. And the best exemplification of this, best example of this, is Buster Jones, who was a great guitarist in his own right, talking about these three guitarists and comparing the styles of them. So he's going to start off playing the same piece of music in the style of Merle Travis. Then he'll play it in the style of Chet Atkins. Then he'll play it in the style of Jerry Reed, our focus today. And you can hear how great Jerry Reed's innovation on guitar was. Or... So you can see there's a lot of music coming out of one instrument.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, Jerry seemed to be very not interested in playing guitar as his career wore on. He would just turn it over to his rhythm guitarist, and he would just stand out there with a guitar on his neck singing and talking to the audience and everything.
Telling this, funny stories about Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, this magnificent musician. And he developed so many guitar pieces that are still studied today by guys on YouTube who discover Jerry Reed's Jiffy Jam or Strutton. Or Jerry's Breakdown, and these are really faint, or The Claw, the song The Claw, which is a classic for guitarists to learn. All of these were musical pieces that he wrote on guitar that are just these gems, these diamonds that are on YouTube that you can learn how to play. And when you do, you'll be greatly rewarded. And coming up next in the corner, I'm going to play you an unpublished track of Jerry Reed's that I got from a secret inside source that was taken in Chet Holmes, that was recorded in Chet Atkins' home, secretly.
Secret audio.
Yeah, secret audio.